Okay, don't get nervous. This is like the battle between incapacity and machines. The machines are taking over. Ezra, you still there?
Yeah, I'm uploading it right now. Gotta rotate it.
I will rotate it. It doesn't want to rotate. There it is. Oh, you were rotating it. Okay, let's get rid of this. Okay, so now in this parasha, in the parasha in Pilchas, at the end of the book of Bamidbar, it has the following, it makes the following statement. Eile mishpachot Levi, you know, they're counting all the families. So we count the family of Levi, mishpachat ha-Livni, mishpachat ha-Chevron. These are the children of Levi. Remember Levi? He was the son of Yaakov. And he had these sons, mishpachat ha-Machli, mishpachat ha-Mushi, mishpachat ha-Korchi, u-Kahat holidet Amram. Kahat, one of the children, had a son whose name was Amram. B'shem eshet Amram, Yocheved, bat Levi. Yocheved gets a special mention in this list of tribes, of the 12 tribes, and how many of them were there to accept their nachala, their portion in Eretz Canaan. Yocheved bat Levi, Eshel Yoda uta Levi v'Mitzrayim, v'teled la'amram et Aharon v'et Moshe v'et Miriam achotam. So that's at the cumulative list, at the cumulative list of the children of Yaakov who came down to Mitzrayim and then went on their way to Eretz Canaan, Miriam is mentioned as the sister of Aaron and Moshe. And the reason that she's mentioned as the sister of Aaron and Moshe is we see because she was a very important person. Now, even though the Torah doesn't tell us what the nature of her importance is, but it tells us certain things about her that are very important. Now we go to the second page. Ezra, can we go to the second page? Is that the second
page? Is that it?
No, the next.
Okay, oops.
Okay, I'll turn it around. You? How do I turn it around?
1 second.
Thing you have to
okay,
do that.
Okay.
No, we don't want that. Let's see. Is that what else is? Can I? I can't move it. Can you roll it up a little bit? No, the next page.
Next page, page 3.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. Is that it?
Okay, yeah. So now we're looking for Miriam. We're looking to try to understand about Miriam. So here's a source from Shmot Rabban, the Medrash, that describes exactly who Miriam was. That means when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, he was endangered. He was endangered by the Paro, who wanted to kill all the firstborn male children. And so we built a little canoe for him and put him in the water. And his sister, his older sister, Miriam, stood and watched what was happening. And so the Medrash says, Lama amda Miriam merachok? Why did she stand far away? Omar of Amram b'shem Rav, Miriam was a prophetess, and she knew something, and she knew Atida imi sheteled ben sheoshiyat Yisrael. I am going to have a brother. My mother is going to give a son who will redeem all of Yisrael. Kevan shenolad Moshe. When Moshe, this son of Yocheved was born, Nitbalei Kol Habayit Ora, the entire house was filled with light. You know, light is a metaphor for all the wondrous things that are coming up. Amad Aviha V'Unishaka Al Rosha, her father got up and kissed her. Amarla Biti Nitkaima Nevuatech. He said to her, Amram, said to her, Nitkaima Nevuatech, your prophecy has come true. Hainu Dichtiv, Vatikach Miriam Hanevia, Achot Aaron Etatov, Achot Aaron Velo Achot Moshe. That's what it says in the Pasuk. We'll see the Pasuk in a minute. He says, she took the drum. She was the sister of Aaron, but not the sister of Moshe. Ela Shamra Nivuazo, Kishihi Achot Aaron, Vadayin Lo Nolad Moshe. She prophesied. Her prophecy was about Moshe. And the prophecy came to her before Moshe was born. And therefore, the Torah correctly says, Achot Aharon, because referring to her, the prophecy that she had. And her prophecy was that Moshe was going to be born. And that would change everything. V'kevan she'tiluhu li'yaor, since they threw him into the river, Rida Amda Ima, her mother came along and sort of like tapped her on her head. Amra la biti vehechan nevuatech. She looked at him and said, what happened to your prophecy? Look at Moshe, he's in tremendous danger. Aynu dichti v'titzev achoto mirachok. She knew that she could do something, that she could save her. But that my Yehav is sof, ubi deviuta. She would then know how her prophecy will turn out. Rabbanan amrin, kol hapasuk hazeh I al shem ruach hakodesh neemar. So all of this pasuk, which says vateitzav achoto mirachok, she placed herself at a distance. She was at a distance from everybody else, right? Miriam the Viachot Aaron. I'm sorry, the Vuyatech. I don't call a pasuk as Al Shem Ruach HaKodesh. It was all done with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, upon her. Ne'amar v'teitatzav. What does that mean, right? V'teitatzav Al Shem. And then it says, Achoto, Al Shem, Emol Chokhma Achoti At, right? Achoto, Vateitat Save. Very strong prophecy, prophetic. And then Meirachok, Al Shem, Meirachok, Hashem Nira Li, Ladat Maya Selo Ayen Sham. So here is Miriam in the story that is related to us in the Medrash Rabbah. And in the Medrash Rabbah, Miriam is the savior of Am Yisrael. She receives prior information, prophecy, and that prior information is going to save the Jewish people. It's her job. It's her job to make sure that Moshe Rabbeinu will be able to lead the Jews and take care of them. That's her job. And she's going to do it successfully, and she's going to do it in a special way. You are now the host of this meeting, it says. Ezra, what's going on?
Oh, you're fine.
I'm fine?
Yeah, you're host. Yeah.
But I can't get rid of this.
Is there an X next to it?
Cisco WebEx meetings. You are now the host of this meeting. That's what it says.
Is there an OK button or you can X out?
Well, I'm trying. It doesn't go. Nothing happens.
One second.
Okay, the next source is right there. Vatikach Miriam Anaviya, remember? Vatikach Miriam Anaviya Chot Aaron. She was a Neviya when Aaron, before Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Vatikach Eta, Vatikach Eta Tof, Biadat Tof, some kind of a percussion instrument. Vateitzena Kol Anashim Achareha, all the women went after her, but tupim uvim cholot. They had these tupim and they had mecholot, etc. V'tan lahem Miriam, shiru l'Hashem ki ga'oga asus v'rachvo rama v'yam. So we see that Miriam ha'neviyah, the emphasis on being the prophecy that she had, that made it possible for Moshe Rabbeinu to actually live and become Moshe Rabbeinu. She was responsible for that. She became a leader of the women, of the Jewish women. Okay, they sang and danced in a more tsanua manner than most of the women of that time. But that did not prevent her from being recognized as the leader of these women, and kind of almost parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu led us in where he led us, and she managed to lead the women at the same time. So she was the prophetess who enabled Moshe Rabbeinu to become Moshe Rabbeinu, lead the Jews out of Mitzrayim, and she became not just the prophetess, but the leader of the women, right, in their public display, appreciation, and joy about Kriyat Yam Suf. So that's what the Pasuk says. Rashi says, Vatikach Miriam HaNeviya, Rashi says, Echad Nitna Ba, Kishaita Achot Aaron, when did she prophesy? When she was a sister to Aaron, old, only Aaron. Kodem shenolad Moshe, before Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Amra, atida imi sheteled ben. You see, it comes right out of the Medrash. Kide iso besota, there's also the Gemara says that, the Baracher, another interpretation, achot Aaron lefi, shemasar masar nafsho aleha, b'shenitzara, Nikreit al Shemo. And so Rashi says, I want you to note the fact that Aaron and Miriam had a special relationship. They had a special relationship when she was punished and became an Isha Tzarat. Now, if we could, I would like to go to the next page, Ezra, if that's possible. And I'd like to get rid of this.
What's on page 4? There is no, I think page 3 was the last.
What?
Maybe page 2?
So there's, after this, if I could get rid of this, I can't get rid of this. Oh, there it is. There it is. No, I didn't want that.
No?
I'm fighting with the computer. It says, there is it says Cisco WebEx meetings. You are now the host of this meeting. I don't want to be the host. I'm happy that you should be the host.
Okay.
I can't get rid of it. And it covers up. It's like a...
Can you put your mouse on the box? Can you, and left click, can you just drag it away?
No. I tried that, I can't do it. Can't drag it up, I can't drag it down, I can't drag it to the left. I can't change it by right clicking, nothing.
All right. Here, let me see if I can take over. Okay, did it go away?
Yes, it went away.
Okay.
Now I need not this, the next page.
Page one?
No, the three or the next page.
Three, four, okay.
A view.
And this one?
Yeah. So we know that there is one blemish on the history of Miriam. And that one blemish is the fact that she spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe. Now, what is Lashon Hara? You have to understand that Lashon Hara is when you speak badly about somebody. I mean, an example, you speak badly about somebody, but it's not going to do any good. I mean, we all know that sometimes you have to take a stand. And taking a stand sometimes means saying things that are not pleasant. And we find that the heter, the fact that we're able to do that, or that the halacha enables us to do that, that's because it's the only way to solve a problem. And that problem could be personal, but it could be also wider than personal. So here, Miriam did something wrong. Why did she do something wrong? Because she didn't understand who she was dealing with. Vayedaber Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe, the first pasuk, al adot ha'ish ha'kushit asher lakach. So let's assume that we understand this pasuk about this woman who he took as his wife at Zipporah. He didn't have any relations to her. He was always in a different world. So Miriam and Aaron, they said, that's not the halakha. The halakha is that men have obligations to their wives. And Moshe Rabbeinu was not fulfilling those obligations, so they went to tell him. They went to say, they made a mistake. They made a mistake because when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, whose knowledge of Torah was more profound than anybody else's, it's always possible that Moshe Rabbeinu knew something that they didn't know. And that somebody in the Moshe Rabbeinu state of being was perhaps freed from the kinds of obligations that most people had to undertake. So he says, "Ki isha kushit lakach." The second pasuk, "Vayomru harakach b'Moshe diber Hashem, alo gambanu diber v'yishma." Hashem, they said something that was really terrible. It really indicated that they didn't get it. And they said, after all, Miriam said, I'm also a prophetess. I saved Am Yisrael. I made sure that Moshe would be Moshe. So I mean, it makes sense that I could criticize. After all, I am Moshe Rabbeinu's teacher, either directly or indirectly through our mother. Pasuk Gimel Eish Moshe Anav Me'od Mikol HaAdam Asher Al Pnei Adama. And you have this epitaph for Moshe Rabbeinu, Anav Me'od. Moshe Rabbeinu is the humblest of people. And where does that humility come from? Well, where does humility in general come from? So I always say, humility comes from Nase Adam Bitzalmenu Kidmutenu. That's what the Pasuk says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with the heavenly hosts and said, should we make a man? Should we do this? Naaseh Adam B'Tzalmenu, in our image. And so Rashi says, on that pasuk, on Vitanuto Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the humility, God's humility. God's humility that he consulted. He didn't have to consult, he didn't have to speak. That's called humility. So, of course, our question that we ask Rashi is what do you mean humility? I mean, God is sort of like an absolute commander. He's always right. I mean, what difference does it make if he consulted with the heavenly hosts for real or for not so real? How could it be? So I think that what Rashi meant to say was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at this point in the creation, also created humility. It was, who says there's such a thing as humility? I mean, you know, animals don't have humility. Animals have instincts. They do what they have to do when they have to do it. Instincts. So God created humility. And humility, therefore, seems to be the greatest of human achievements. And the Pasuk says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Ha'ish Moshe. Ha'ish Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was an Ish, meaning he was the ultimate, the best of the best, the one of many. But Ha'ish Moshe. What made him Ha'ish Moshe? Anav. Anav ma'od. He's the most humble. Mikol Adam Asher al Pnei Adama. No one else could do what he did. Vayomer Hashem pasuk daled. Vayomer Hashem pitom el Moshe vel Aaron veel Miriam. Tzu shloshtachem el ol moed veyitzu shloshtam. Go out to the ol moed vayered Hashem. There's an interchange, Moshe and Aaron and Miriam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains to them, Pasuk Vav, Vayomer, Pasuk Vav, you see it? Shimuna Devarai, listen to what I have to say, God says to Moshe and Aaron, to Moshe, to Aaron and Miriam. If Yedaviachem Hashem b'marei lavet v'adav v'chalom adem b'ad, I'll explain it to you. Yes, Miriam, you are a prophetess, but you have to understand that prophecy has levels. And there's the kind of prophet that gets information in a dream. Lo kein abdi Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is not that kind of a prophet. Right, locate Abdi Moshe, called Beiti Neman, he is the most, the closest, the one who is least likely to vary his responses to God. Pasuk Chet Pel Pel Daber Bo, I speak to him mouth to mouth, as close as you could imagine. Oh, very, very, I got a pasuk you just want to talk about, but we don't have time. Madua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Madua lo yoreitem, how come you didn't have fear to speak about God? He didn't say that, not because they were wrong. Had it been anybody else, they would certainly have been right. They would have been correct. Pasuk tet vayichar af Hashem bam vayelech, God left them in anger. Left them in anger. And then starting from Pasuk yud, you have the result of the anger. Anan sar be'al ha'olol, the cloud went up away from the tent. Rename Miriam Mitzorat Keshale, Vayfed Aaron El Miriam, Rename Mitzorat. Miriam was considered to be the one at fault, and she was punished by Tzorat. Vayom Aaron El Moshe Bi Adoni, Al nata sheita leinu chatat asher no alnu v'asher chatanu. Don't, we admit it, we know we did wrong. Don't punish us. Al natahi kameit asher b'tzeito v'rechem imo. Yechel chatzi v'saro v'yitzak Moshe l'ashev leimor. El na riflan ala. And so Moshe Rabbeinu prays for Miriam. And he says, cure her, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is interesting. It's interesting. I mean, why did Moshe Rabbeinu do that? I mean, it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu was charged at the burning bush with being the defender of Am Yisrael. And as the defender of Am Yisrael, there was no situation in which Moshe Rabbeinu would not, could not, did not protect Bnei Yisrael, but that was his job. But if a single person in Bnei Yisrael was punished for doing something wrong, why would Moshe Rabbeinu protect them? Why would he stand behind them? What was it that forced Moshe Rabbeinu to do what he did? Okay, so leave out the Rashi. After the next page, at the end. One second. Can you turn it around? Yeah, let's just see. Rashi. No, after the Rashi. After Rashi is another page. What is that? No, there's another page. Oh, here we go. To turn it to the right. Thank you very much. Here we have in the parasha, in our parasha Chukat, in our parasha Chukat. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael kol ha'ida midbar Tzin. B'nei Yisrael came to the desert called Tzin. V'chodesh harishon. V'yeshev ha'mekadesh. V'tamat sham Miriam. V'tikaver sham Miriam. Is given Miriam is given the honor that she deserves. She dies, she's buried, v'lo haya mayim la'ida, and they didn't have any water, v'yikalu al Moshe v'Aaron, and they all got angry at Moshe v'Aaron. V'tamot sham Miriam, Rashi, see the Rashi, the end of the narrow lines in Rashi. Etigavesh of Miriam, Afhi ben Shika Meta. Ben Shika Meta. Umibne Malo Nemarva Alpi Hashem. Why doesn't it say the mouth of God, the Shika? Sheina der Kavod Shumala, because this is not, would not be given honor to heaven. Ubaron Nemar Alpi Hashem. Bele Masei, right, in the parasha of Masei, when Aaron dies, it's Alpi Hashem. In other words, in this pasuk, according to Rashi, Miriam is completely vindicated, rejuvenated, given back her old status, and the greatest death that people can experience is the death of Alpi Hashem. And finally, I would like you to look at this source in the Seder Olam Rabbah, which is a kind of a history written very early. In that history, it says, Shlosha parnasim tovim amdu lehem liYisrael. B'nei Yisrael had three sources of great support. Ve'elahem, these are the three: Moshe, Aaron, Miriam. V'shalosh matanot tovot nitnu al yidem. What do you mean they supported Bnei Yisrael? Well, here they each of them gave a certain gift to Bnei Yisrael, right? V'eilehein, v'er, v'amud anan, v'haman. Man, who gave them the man? Bizchut Moshe Rabbeinu. Amud Anan, who is the one who gave them the pillar of a cloud that led them in the desert? Bizchut Aharon. The heir, Bizchut Miriam. Meita Miriam, that's what just happened in the Pasuk, Nitzdalka HaBe'er. There was no longer a well, no longer water. V'chazra lahem liYisrael v'zchut Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron went to Davin, and they got the water back. They got water back. Beit Aaron, nistalek amud ha'anan. When Aaron died, the pillar, the cloud, disappeared. V'chazar lahem v'zchut Moshe, but Moshe Rabbeinu was able to bring it back. Beit Moshe. Everything was gone. The man, the anan, and the be'er. V'lo chazru sh'ne'emar v'echad et shloshet haro'im b'yerach echad. They all gone. Ki b'yerach echad meitu. They all died the same month. V'alo b'shana achat meitu. They made it. Didn't they die in the same year? Meitam. Miriam Basara Benisan, Baron Bechad Be'av, Moshe Bishiva Ba'adar. Ela Yom Shemait Moshe, Mistalku Shloshtad Velo Chazru. That's, we're talking about the gifts that Moshe and Aaron gave. So if we had to summarize, the history, the life of Miriam, I would add one more thing. If we could go back to page one. Could we go back to page one? Just 1 second here. Page one, Dvarim Perek Kav Dalet. You see the second source on the page. It's a pasuk in Ki Teitzei, Dvarim Perek Kav Dalet. Hishamer b'nega tzarat. Beware or be careful of the affliction called tzarat. Tzarat is usually translated by leprosy, which is not the. I mean, I don't know. I have no way of knowing what the reality was in those days and what Tzarat really is. But it seems to be, from the various sources, a disease that affects the skin. Like it's a very oppressive kind of thing. So he shamer b'negat Tzarat lishmor ma'od v'lasot k'chol asher yeru etchem ha'kohanim ha'leviyim kasher tzivitim. So the Chazal understood from Miriam, from the story of Miriam, that Tzarat was the punishment for Lashon Hara. Rashi says, he shamer b'nega Tzarat, shelo titlosh simanei tum'ah. That, you know, there's certain kinds of boils or certain kinds of skin afflictions which are not going away. They're going to still be with you. The Kohen has to come and say, no, you have to stay. You have to be quarantined. And sometimes the Kohen can say, well, now you're getting better. Just stay in bed in the house for another day or two, then you can go out or whatever, right? K'chol asher yeru etchem im laskir, im lachlit, im letaher. It was the Kohen is going to tell you what you should do. That's about Tzarat in general. Even though we know that Tzarat is the punishment for Lashon Hara, but it's not clear what the Torah is talking about. Pasuk Tet, Zachor et asher asal Hashem Elokecha leMiriam b'derech b'tzeitchem v'mitzrayim. Zachor, Rashi, im bata li zaher shelo tilakeh b'tzarat, al tisaper l'shon hara. If you want to prevent yourself, that's what you learn from Miriam. You want to prevent yourself from getting this punishment of tzara'at, don't talk lashon hara. Zachor asui l'miriam. Remember what happened to Miriam, she dibra b'achia v'lak.
We lost the voice.
So I'm going to call him. I just paused the recording.
What should I do? Okay. Well, I mean, there's no doubt that I'm losing the battle here. Okay, I think I'm back. I wanted to say that there are these psukim that direct us to Zachor, to a Zachor, to remember things. And the Chachamim say that the way you remember things is at least once a year you say out loud, I remember what happened with Amalek. Once a year, we do it very carefully. We all kind of go, and we have think about every year whether women are obliged to go or they're not obliged to go. They do have a separate reading. They don't have a separate reading. You know, it really takes up our interest. But we forget that they are really more than one. There's more than one Zachor. In fact, there are six, according to one counting, and 10, according to another counting. Right? So that this Zachor, this Pasuk, that says, Zachor, Dasher, Asa, Hashem, Elokecha, LeMiriam. I mean, usually, it's true that if somebody is punished for doing for transgression, That you remember it. I mean, punishment is something that is worth remembering. But this is beyond that, beyond remembering. You have to remember. You have to have a special moment. You have to have a special event for this memory. So that the Rambam generally says, of course, not about Amalek, but generally the Rambam says that these Zachors are not an independent mitzvah on their own. And the Ramban generally says that they are. So you can see that there's a kind of a lack of, some lack of understanding, our understanding of the Pasuk. But what does the Pasuk mean if it's not a directive? What is it? And why should we remember? Why does it say, Zachor Asher Asa Hashem Elokecha LeMiriam? Why doesn't it say what it is exactly that we're supposed to remember? Or it could be that that's why we don't remember. Now, we also know, I mean, I don't want you to think I forgot, but in the Siddur, in most Siddurim today, in most Siddurim, the new Siddurim, the Siddurim that like to pack in a lot of material and stuff into the Siddur, the Siddurim contain the Zohars at the end of the Tefillah of Shacharit, the end of Shacharit, so you could say the Zohars every day. Whether it's a mitzvah or it's not a mitzvah, it's a good thing to do. So that's it's another fact about Miriam. Miriam is, you know, like one of the other Zohars. You should remember Har Sinai. You should remember Har Sinai. You should remember Shabbos. You should remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. But all of these things we do remember one way or the other. That may be the rationale behind the fact that Moshe, that the Rambam didn't consider them to be independent mitzvot, because they're subsumed somehow within another mitzvah. Okay, it could be. So I want to just say that, in my opinion, Miriam is like a complex personality. And she was, after all, the person who brought Moshe Rabbeinu into the world and enabled Yetziat Mitzrayim and Kabbalat HaTorah. It is not for naught that Miriam was the one who provided Am Yisrael with water. And it's not at all, it's not for naught that B'nai Yisrael, the water, is what is often compared to Torah. Torah, water and Torah are the same thing, because the Maharal says that, you know, water fits in wherever you put it. Any container, any size container, it immediately adapts to the container and fills it up. And that's only true about water. And it apparently is also true about the Torah. That the Torah, in the long history of the Jewish people, even since Korban Beit HaMikdash, the destruction of the Second Temple, wherever the Jews were, whatever influences they had to deal with, however it was that the Jews had to identify themselves, they all, wherever they were, they all managed to learn Torah in a way that made sense in the community in which they found themselves. There were difficulties. Nothing was easy. And learning Torah as an ideal was certainly not easy. But that's the Torah-water connection. Torah is like water. And Miriam was responsible for the water, because she was a prophetess. And because she did what she did and knew what she knew, she made a mistake. She made a mistake. She wanted to do something that was mutar. What do we say before? What was mutar? If you're going to fix something, you're going to make something better. So it's permitted to even say Lashon Hara in order to fix it. And she wanted to help a woman, Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, who was not being treated as most wives should be treated. And so she said, I also know the Torah. I also know the halacha. I mean, very similar to Korach, the Korach's argument. And she said, and because of that, I'm taking it upon myself to say these things and to do these things. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to warn her that prophecy is distributed differently to different prophets. It's not as though prophecy is a level that you achieve together with everybody else who was or will be a prophet. But Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what she didn't understand at the time, that Moshe Rabbeinu was unique in that he had to listen or follow a higher order of law. that Moshe Rabbeinu, having spent 40 days and 40 nights on Har Sinai with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, literally, right, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Moshe Rabbeinu could not be judged as everybody else would be judged, even in prophecy, as the Rambam says, that the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu was by Spaklaria Meira, which I think means clarity. He had greater clarity than everybody else. Everybody else received information from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that was usually understood, but the deeper understanding might have been he might have been unable to get. So the important thing here is that what you have to remember with Miriam is that you have to be very careful about Lashon Hara. And Lashon Hara, on the one hand, it's clear that you shouldn't be involved, you shouldn't do it. But for us, it's very difficult because we live in a world which is very largely based on Lashon Hara. I mean, newspapers, magazines, movies. With Lashon Hara is the bread and butter. It's the bread and butter of those things. And so Miriam taught us that even prophets can make mistakes when it comes to Lashon Hara. And even though she wanted to do good, she was not doing good. And you have to be able to make that distinction in order to say that you're speaking Lashon Hara to do good. You have to really know what the issues are and what it is that might have driven somebody else to do the wrong thing, and how difficult it will be or it won't be to get him back to the straight and narrow. So Miriam actually represents a very complex lesson that we all have to learn about Lashon Hara. And that sometimes when you do want to do good, it's not what you're doing. You're doing something else. You have to look very carefully. Okay, I'm sorry about the technical problems, but maybe we'll straighten it out. Have a good Shabbos to everybody. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good Shabbos.
Shabbos.